Romans chapter 8. I think we're going to be there in just a minute. I may quote a few other scriptures, but we'll get there. Have you ever tried to make sense of God's grace? Y'all, is God's grace logical? No. You can't make sense of God's grace because, you know, we live in a world of logic. How many have ever seen this? You break it, you buy it. How many have ever experienced that? Especially if you had little kids, all right? You're raising kids. You break it, you buy it. That's just logical, right? How about this one? You sin, you pay for it. That's pretty logical, right? How about this one? You mess it up, you fix it. It sure makes sense that God is going to give up on us sooner or later in our little finite minds. That's the way we think a lot of times. And surely his forgiveness is going to run dry. Now, let's be honest. How many of your forgiveness towards someone else has run dry? Don't raise your hand. That's human. But God's got a whole different perspective, and I'm so thankful he does, because his forgiveness never runs dry. See, understanding and truly accepting God's forgiveness is really the foundation. It's really the first step to a meaningful walk with Jesus. It takes faith to believe in forgiveness and to believe in the grace of God. We have to take God at his word and just trust him completely. And I don't think we can really mature in Jesus until we understand that grace is not logical, it's lavish. How many love that word? Woo! Just think of that word, lavish. Oh, that just speaks of luxury and just above board and just over the top. That's the way you got to look at grace. It's not logical, it's lavish. How God can take the guilty and call him forgiven. Woo, that's amazing. How he takes the broken and makes them whole. How he takes sinners like you and me and declares no condemnation. Y'all, we ought to be shouting today. If you're not a shouter, do it under your breath or something, all right? But praise the Lord. Grace isn't meant to be understood, but it's meant to be received. And I hope everybody in this building today or listening by live stream, I pray that you have received that grace into your life. Now, we either believe what God says and we grow as a Christian, or we continue to listen to the lies. The lies come from Satan. He burdens us down with guilt and with shame. He says forgiveness is too good to be true. He says, you've gone too far for grace. Have you ever been trying to witness somebody and they say, oh, you don't know my past? Does that matter? Right? Oh, I've gone too far for grace. No, there's no such thing. You know, the devil says it's impossible to forgive ourselves when we sin. It's impossible to forgive others when they hurt you. See, those are lies of Satan that we believe sometimes. Here's what we need to do. Let's ditch those lies and let's believe the book. Let's believe God's word. It says that we are forgiven. How many love that word? Forgiven! Also, it says that we're called saints. How many realize you are a saint? That's what the Bible calls you. Calls us children of God. Calls us citizens of heaven. This is not our home. We're just passing through. If you're saved, you are a citizen of heaven. You are members of God's family. You are chosen members of a royal priesthood. You are salt and light. You are joint heirs with Jesus. You're ready to inherit eternal life. You cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what grace is all about. We are forgiven. Forgiveness and trust are really the foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when the world's crashing all around you, what are you wrestling with? In tough times, do you ask, can I really trust God in this situation? I've heard this one just recently. Am I being punished for all the bad stuff that I've done? Do you think our God operates like that? Did God really forgive me? Are my sins really gone? See, logic says one thing, but grace and God, they say another. See, when I forgive someone, listen, what they did to me always seems to hover in the back of my mind. Can I get a witness? Now, I did the proper thing. I forgave them, but uh-oh, what they did always seems to stay in my mind. I can't help but make decisions based on the memory of what happened. Therefore, my human logic says, there is no way God can forgive me without condition, without limits, without end. A lot of times I think people live as if three strikes and you're out. And they think God operates that way. I'm here to say, praise God, He doesn't. But a lot of times people think that way. They think, oh, if I get written up so many times, I'm going to get fired by God. Or if I get so many reprimands, I'm going to get suspended. If I get too many speeding tickets, I'm going to lose my license. By the way, I'm in front of the judge tomorrow morning. Pray for me. I got a speeding ticket in March on my little road that goes, you know, the little cut across Carson. It's a speed trap. How many ever been on Carson Road? It's terrible. He got me in March, and y'all, same thing happened in July. So I need God's mercy from this judge, okay? Can you pray for your pastor tomorrow? But even though I may have to go through a class, I'm going to beg for mercy. I don't know what it's going to take. But with a holy God, we don't need to think like that. Oh, He's finally going to get tired of my mess, and He's not going to put up with me any longer. You don't have to worry about that with God. If you think, hey, I commit this sin so many times that God's going to eventually leave me. That is so foreign to God's word. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? Now, see, that's our logical mind, but it comes from a false belief. Here's the false belief. Are you listening? That we did something to make God love us in the first place. You didn't. We think we're just so lovable that God can't help but love us. But really, the opposite is true. We're not really lovable, y'all. We are unlovable, and God still loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Grace doesn't make sense for four reasons. Number one, ready? Grace doesn't make sense because it forgives the guilty. Romans 5:8, say it with me. Y'all know this one. But God commendeth or showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God cared for us before we were born. Let that sink in. We must understand that our relationship with God is something He starts, something He maintains, something He completes. Grace came before we trusted in Him. He was already moving toward us. He was the one who seeks and saves. Grace chose to love the unlovable. See, the world loves the lovable, right? But God loves the lost. And the world constantly reminds us of our failures and rubs our nose in our failures. But God is not like that. He just extends grace to undeserving people like you and me. He did this by giving His Son. Can you say John 3:16 with me? Come on, everybody join in. Ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love beyond reason. It makes no sense. It's not logical that God would forgive the guilty. Only love can explain it. How many are grateful for God's love? All right, number two, grace also doesn't make sense because it erases our record. Wow. Here's Romans 8:1. I told you we'd eventually get to it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in or who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me remind you that God doesn't put you on probation. He wipes your slate clean. Isn't that wonderful? When God forgives, He doesn't hold it over your head. He chooses to forget what we cannot forget. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. How about this one? Isaiah 45:25. I am he that blotteth out the transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, God is saying, I'm never going to think of your sins again. Now, he doesn't have amnesia because he's God, but he has mercy. He chooses to not remember our sins. That doesn't mean he lost his memory. He just chooses not to remember our sins. He also removes our sins beyond reach. How many remember this scripture? Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, there's a reason why God used the east and west to describe how far he cast our sins from us. If you started out today, started going east, it's going to keep going east forever. And if you start out going west, it's going to keep going west forever. You're never going to go so far east that you start going west. And you're never going to go so far west that you're going to start going east. The bottom line is east and west, they never meet. That's how far he cast our sin from us. I got a lot of scripture today. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. What's that mean? He tramples our sins under his feet. Isn't that good? And thou wilt cast, or he's thrown all of their sins into the depths of the sea. Aren't you glad God has a sea of forgetfulness? And he doesn't go fishing for them at a later time. Amen? There's a song about the sea of God's forgetfulness. Praise God, my sins are gone. That's what it is. And he cast them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Praise the Lord for that. Number three, grace doesn't make sense because it restores the broken. Jesus laid down his life. He became sin for us. I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Huh? What is that? To be an offering for our sin, right? Who knew no sin? How many believe Jesus never sinned? That's what it says. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made right with God through Jesus. Say that with me. Ready? We are made right with God through Jesus. That is the great exchange. Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Woo! Now we're accepted. We're clean. We're forgiven. This is how serious God is about forgiveness. I am choosing not to count your sin against you anymore. Not because you're a good person. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not a good person, okay? No. How about this? It's not because your good outweighs your bad. Nope. No, God says, I'm choosing not to count your sin against you anymore because my son paid the debt for your sin on that old rugged cross. It is finished. Transaction completed. No other sacrifice needs to be made. Man, I would have hated to have been a priest in the Old Testament. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Cleaning up. You know, just going through that whole process. Praise God, when Jesus came, that was it. One sacrifice. Once and for all. Now, we need to start living as if our sin is gone. Each day, we need to accept God's forgiveness by faith. And then we need to appreciate it. Do you appreciate grace? Do you appreciate the forgiveness that you have in Jesus? Then we need to live in a way that we appreciate it. Remember, grace does not give us the freedom to sin. It really needs to do the exact opposite. it gives us the freedom from sin. We don't have to run back to sin. And this is a great scripture for this, Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? In other words, hey, can I just keep on sinning that grace may abound? In other words, His grace is just so amazing that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace if I just keep on sinning. No, no, no. Verse 2 says, God forbid. In other words, Paul is saying, of course not. How shall we that are supposed to be dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? We've got this amazing grace that's been given to us. We need to appreciate it, and then we need to let it affect the way that we live. We don't need to run back to sin. We shouldn't continue in it just because of God's amazing grace. Look at verse 3. Know ye not, don't forget, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory or the glorious power of the Father. Here it is. Say it with me. Ready? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You are a new creature in Christ if you've been saved. Therefore, you've received this marvelous, wonderful grace. It needs to affect the way that you live. Just as we're identified with Adam in sin and condemnation, we're now identified with Jesus in righteousness. We've been justified. You know what that means? He looks at us just as if we'd never sinned. Amen. That's the power of grace. Justification brings life. So we're to be dead to sin, alive in Jesus. We're supposed to walk in His power because we share His life. So we've got to allow the truth of God's amazing grace and His forgiveness to radically change our lives. Now, I want you to listen very closely. To a lot of Christians, a relationship with God means going to church and avoiding the big sins. You ever heard anybody say that? Oh, I'm not a bad person. I don't do the big sins. And I try to go to church every week. Well, good for you. But listen, there is so much more to the Christian life than just that. Despite sitting in church for years, your faith can be very shallow. Can I hear amen? Are you with me? Right? Listen, this walking with God thing is supposed to be an everyday friendship, not just once a week on Sunday morning. It's walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So many Christians compartmentalize their lives. Okay, I want you to imagine with me. Do y'all remember the old time card catalogs at the library? And those pieces of furniture they were in, just a big wooden, and it had all the drawers in it. Are you with me? And you pull the drawers out, all right? Let's imagine that's how a lot of Christians look at their life. They have a drawer for school. Many of you guys still in school. They have a drawer for work. Are you with me? They have a drawer for music. They have a drawer for family. They have another drawer for free time. They have a drawer for friends. Oh, and then they do have a drawer for church. Hallelujah. All right? But then they have another drawer for sports. They have another drawer for TV and movies. They have another drawer for their laptop and their computer and their phone time. They have another drawer for video games. They have another drawer for their social life. Now listen, most areas, if they were honest, are closed off to Jesus. They have a compartment for church, but it doesn't affect any of the other compartments. That means whatever kind of music they want to listen to, free game, because their life is compartmentalized. That's how one moment people can be singing Amazing Grace, and the next moment be rocking out in their car, listening to some terrible, ungodly, vulgar music on the way home. Are you with me? Okay. One moment we can be in Sunday school class, listening to the teacher with our Bibles open, and the next moment we can rent a filthy movie that we shouldn't be watching. One moment we can be sharing a testimony in church, how the goodness of God, and then the next moment be enraged with uncontrollable anger. Do you see what I'm trying to get at, church? Well, I've been to church. But then you close that drawer back in, and it does not affect the other aspects of your life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to get rid of the compartments. Hey, put Jesus at the center of everything that you do. Jesus ought to affect the music you listen to. Jesus ought to affect the movies that you watch. Jesus ought to affect the way you spend your time on social media or video games or whatever. We got to be so careful. It's time to do away with the compartments. Just let Jesus spill over into every part of your life. That's the way we ought to live because of His amazing grace. It's not how much can I sin and get by with it? How close can I get up to the line before it's too far? No, I want to glorify God with my whole life, every area of my life. In Sunday school this morning, we quoted 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, that includes everything else. What's it say? Do all to the glory of God. If you're having sex outside of marriage, are you giving glory to God? No matter how much you rationalize it, no matter how much you say, well, sin feels good, but it's against God's word. And you are living a lie. You're trying, oh, I'm in church Sunday, preacher, I'm here. But it's just a compartment in your life. It's got to start affecting every part of your life. I tell you, if you feed on the things of the world, you're going to become like the world. If you feed on the things of Jesus, you're going to become like Jesus, right? That's what grace does. It transforms. Grace should change the way that we live. So we got to allow ourselves to be free from all the things that are tearing us down. Yes, accept His forgiveness. Yes, appreciate it. You can shout a little bit in church and say, "Woo! Thank God for grace." But then you got to live in a way that glorifies God. Don't trample on that grace and say, well, I'm just going to live any way I want to because God's amazing grace. No, because of God's amazing grace, I want to live holy. I want to live righteous. That ought to be our attitude. I'm so glad that grace keeps working till we're home. He's going to complete His work in our lives. How many remember this one? Philippians 1:6. Ready? Say it with me. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on me. He's still conforming me to His image, and He's going to do it until I'm with Jesus one day in glory. God does not give up on what grace begins. From the day of our conception to the day of our salvation to our service to the Lord on this earth, till the day that we physically die, and finally to eternal life, Jesus' grace will always be there. Aren't you glad about that? He's not going to take His salvation away from you. If you've trusted in Jesus, you are going to be safe and secure till He brings you home. Number four, grace doesn't make sense because it glorifies God and not us. Forgiveness reveals God's heart. Hey, every time God forgives, it shows who He really is. He is merciful. He is patient. He is loving. He's faithful. The cross is where logic dies and love wins. Grace doesn't make sense until you stand at Calvary. There you realize it's not about what I deserve. It's about what He gave. See, if grace were logical, none of us would qualify. Can I say that one more time? If grace were logical, none of us would qualify. But because grace is divine, every one of us can be forgiven. Every one of us. You can't reason your way into it. You can't earn your way toward it. You can only receive it. There was once a respected judge in a small town. Are you listening? Everyone knew him as a man of integrity. He was a man of fairness. He was a man of justice. Man, we need more judges like that these days. Amen. One morning, the court was in session, and the bailiff called the next case. To everyone's shock and amazement, the defendant was the judge's own son. The boy had been caught speeding recklessly through town. He caused an accident. He destroyed a bunch of property. There was no question of his guilt. The evidence was overwhelming and clear. This guy was guilty. The courtroom fell silent. People whispered to each other, "What in the world is the judge going to do? This is his own son." If the judge showed mercy, he would look corrupt, right? If he enforced the law, he's going to crush his son. Well, after a long pause, the judge spoke, "Son, you've been found guilty. The fine is $10,000. A gasp went through the courtroom. The boy hung his head. He didn't have $10 to his name. Can I get a witness? Much less $10,000. Then the judge stood up. Many of you probably heard this. Took off his robe, walked down from the bench, stood beside his son, reached into his own wallet, pulled out his own check, and paid the fine in full. He upheld the law. He showed love. And justice was satisfied. Mercy was given. That's what grace is all about. It don't make sense. It's not fair. It's not even logical. It's not something we can earn. You can't even explain it. God did not ignore our sin, but he paid for it himself through Jesus. He stepped down from heaven's bench. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus came down from the glories of heaven to live on this earth, to sacrifice his life for us? He stepped down from heaven's bench, came to where we were guilty, and paid the price with his own blood. Grace doesn't make sense, but thank God it's real. So today, stop trying to make sense of it. Just thank him for it. When grace doesn't make sense, that's when it's most amazing. Now, I got three questions for you, but I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Ready? Number one. Have you received that grace for yourself? If you were to die right now, do you know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? He's already paid the price for you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything to gain salvation. It's just believing in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Have you received this grace for yourself? Number two. Are you living in the freedom that forgiveness brings? In other words, you can live a holy life. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and now you have the power to say no to sin. You have the power to take the exit ramp when the temptation's ahead. That's the freedom that comes through grace. That's the freedom that comes through forgiveness. It's not, hey, I get to sin more and more because I'm under grace. God's going to love me regardless. No, that's not the way we ought to live. We ought to live holy and walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. So we got to live in that freedom. Are you living in that freedom? If you're saved, but you're struggling with sin, get that settled today. Confess it, forsake it. So if you're unsaved, you need to be saved today. If you're saved, but you're living in sin, man, experience that freedom today. Run to this altar. And then number three, are you extending this same grace and forgiveness to others? In my years of ministry, 35 years of ministry, this is what I hear most of all. I cannot forgive that person because they hurt me. They offended me. The Bible says that we are to forgive others because Christ forgave us. He is our example. If God can forgive us in all of our mess, then surely with his help, we can forgive someone else. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, I'm going to lay it on the altar. I'm going to choose to forgive them. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, would you come take my hand? We'll take the word of God and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian here, you know you're saved, but something's not right in your life. Would you get it settled today? And then would you choose to forgive someone that's hurt you, offended you? Preacher, you don't know how bad they hurt me. Hey, I know how bad I've hurt God, and he forgives me. And through his power, you can forgive them. Let's stand together.